1-888-7... Oh, no, you know what? I psych myself out. It's 602-277-5827. 277-KTAR. We're in the garden, as we are every Saturday, with Mr. John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery. And, of course, Rosie Romero, your host, in studio today, broadcasting on a... This isn't humid. What would you call this? I mean,
it's not.
No, this is a slightly sticky, is what I'm feeling.
Okay.
Slightly.
And there's a difference?
We were talking before the break about just what this monsoon has done for the plants and vegetation. Jennifer just about turned most of the vegetable garden under. She's got some peppers. She's got some okra.
Yeah.
She's got one little pear tomato plant that's really trying as hard as it can to hold on.
Yeah.
But other than that, she pretty well turned the whole garden under. What's the status?
You know, start turning under and working your garden because, you know, as we get August is the end of next week, it's August, which means – you know, things like corn and beans and squash and melons again, you know, you can start planting from seed again. So as we get into late pumpkins, if you wanted to do pumpkins for the kids for Halloween for jack-o'-lanterns, this is a great time to do that.
Thinking ahead there, thinking ahead.
So, you know, it's believe it or not, you know, we're right at the cusp of fall garden again. So, you know, that's a great thing to do, to especially with take advantage of this moisture, and that ground's a lot easier to start tilling and working.
There's about 10 minutes of every day I can believe fall is coming.
About 6 o'clock in the morning.
A little bit earlier than that, yeah. When I walk out on the back patio about 5:30 in the morning and the sun's not up yet.
Yeah, and as that starts getting a little later every day,
yeah,
it starts feeling a little more like it, and it'll feel a little more like it once we get, you know, into the middle or latter part of August.
But I'm on the back patio every morning, and when I have to turn a light on to do my reading out there in the morning, then there's that little ray of hope, baby.
Yeah, it's on its way.
Oh,
so
man.
That, you know, this is a nice time of year because you can start to see the changes when we start getting that moisture going. When we don't have the moisture, it can be pretty miserable, and it's more miserable for us. Because we like our bodies sweat and perspire, and the moisture gets on our skin, and then it evaporates and cools us off. Well, plants don't do that. They just flat lose the moisture.
Lose it.
So, you know, when it's humid, it just, you know, think of the Amazon, think of the tropical rainforest, and think of the foliage and the plants and how they thrive, or a greenhouse. And that's kind of what you got going right now with these hazy, kind of cloudy mornings and lots of moisture in the air. Very comfortable for plants, a little uncomfortable for us.
Yeah. Well, listen, you've got a couple of letters here that have come in. Well, why don't you get to those while we finish screening some calls that are coming in? Y'all, if you want to talk to John Jay about any landscape or irrigation dilemma or question you might have, give us a ring this week. The number is 602-277-5827.
We did have, looks like, Justin sent in Brenda. Brenda Lewis, her email says Justin, sent in an email. Excuse me. I'm having difficulty finding out who we recommended for tree trimming in Tucson. I don't know that we have a quote-unquote tree trimmer in the Tucson area. Do we, Romy?
No, we don't. But that's where the Arizona Community Tree Council, they could probably go to their website and find a certified arborist in their area. They have, I know this is completely an opposite side of the state, but they travel. They're a traveling roadshow. Well, they probably don't want to be called that, but they're doing educational classes everywhere. In our newsletter today, there's an opportunity in Flagstaff starting at 10 o'clock. And they go all around the state and bring arborists everywhere. So we have, do you know that website, aztree.org?
Yeah, or just do a Google search for Arizona Community Tree Council.
Certainly could.
And it'll come up. They could also go to the Rosie on the House website and go to the Tucson area and go to nurseries or gardening products.
I bet Savannah would know.
I would get Savannah's, Harlow's, Mesquite Valley. Those guys would have an arborist or two they could recommend to them.
I'll bet you we could give out John Eisenhower's phone number, and I bet he'd know somebody.
I'm sure he has an associate or two that he's done some stuff with in Tucson.
Do you have a cell? I bet he would just feel so loved. if everyone listening right now would call a cell and just say, who do you recommend for trees?
Really? And you really want to do that?
Pick a different part. You don't even have to say you're in Arizona. Just say, the guys on the radio said, my cousin in Wisconsin needs a tree trimmer. And they said,
602.
He would feel so loved.
788-0005. 602-788-0005.
And we will email the...
And you're in big trouble.
We love you, John. All right. So the other thing we're not fighting in today's monsoon, this season's monsoon, is a lot of high wind. So a lot of the staking that we had talked about a couple weeks ago hasn't really had to come into play very well. We had somebody talking to us about staking, saying when the trunk of the tree's diameter is bigger than the stake, that's about the time that's about the time you need to shed the stake.
It can probably come off, when the tree's holding the stake up.
That told me that I actually had a couple trees that had been staked too long. Mm-hmm. I still need to get out there and cut the wires and pull the
stakes. Well, and the other thing you got to watch, too, is the girdling that can occur if you've left those wires. Even if you've used the hose protector or the tube or some webbing, it can develop some pressure points and you start girdling the trunk of that tree. So if that's starting to happen, loosen them up, take them off, and see what happens. A lot of times they don't need to be staked, or you can loosen it way up so they move a whole bunch if you want to just leave it on through the rest of the monsoon just to be safe. But most of the time, if the trunk of the tree is thicker than the stake, it's probably okay without it.
I got very fortunate this year in my timing for pre-emergent. I mean, pre-emergent, your entire yard right now, except where you want to plant a winter lawn.
Yeah, if you're going to plant a winter lawn, or obviously vegetable gardens where you might be planting things from seed, or wildflowers. It's the other thing people do in some of their gravel areas is come October, November, they'll plant the African daisy seeds and the wildflowers and that. So you don't want to pre-emerge those areas. Either, but especially in gravel areas or granite areas or utility areas that you don't want anything to grow, or in your lawns, if you're going to have just not plant a winter lawn, this is a great time to put some pre-emergent down. Keep that spurge from continuing to spread.
Just ahead of the rain. You want it rained
well,
in, right?
Ideally, it's got to get watered in anyway. Yeah. So if you can do it and take advantage of the rain and not have to run your sprinkler system to water it in, even better.
Yeah, boy. Last year I didn't do so well. My timing wasn't so good. But, every once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. And I got lucky this year. We hit it exactly the right time.
And, we tell people a lot of times, do twice a year on the pre-emergent. But if it's in a lawn where you're watering a lot,
yes,
that shortens the active period that pre-emergent is going to be effective. When it's getting lots and lots of water like a lawn does, you probably need to do it 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah.
You're probably only going to get 6 or 8 weeks of protection instead of 13 to 26 weeks of protection.
Well, I tell you what, Fertilome Weed Out has become my friend this year. I mean, last year when the TIF was absolutely overtaken by spurge, right. I mean, I'm keeping it under control. I mean, my lawn really, really looks good.
And the best way to control the spurge is to have a good lawn, so that getting back to that fertilizing every 30 days, that'll really help you.
Yeah. Fertilizing every 30 days, keeping it good and rich, keeping the pre-emergent on, and when you do sprout some, hit it with the Fertilome Weed Out.
Yep, get it quick before it has a chance to spread, because that stuff has seed on it immediately.
Immediately. Woo, man. All right, with that said, we've got Carol and Randy on hold. We're going to take calls. We do have an open line if you'd like to reach us. The number is 602-277-5827. Let's welcome Carol into the conversation.
Uh-oh.
Carol? All right, we're gonna work this out. We've got Carol and Randy. We were talking vegetable gardens there just for a minute. You were talking about a couple things you could start from seed. Would you start them in the ground, or would you start them in little six-pack cups in the garage right now, or
well,
in the house?
It would depend on what you're growing. If you're going to do corn, you might as well start that in the ground. Most of the things that you think of that have large seed, like corn, beans, squash, they start pretty easily in the ground. Things, as we get later into the fall, the leafy things start pretty easily in the ground, the lettuces and the spinaches and those. We don't have to start a lot of things in cups or in starts here because okay. we're not fighting the – you know, the guys that do that a lot is back east, right, where they're trying to get a jump start on the cold weather. Northern Arizona, the folks up north, you know, to get a jump start on the spring garden might start things indoors in February or March to get them a little bit ahead.
We can turn that garden and plant the seed right in there.
We can do things in the ground. Now, things like tomatoes and peppers and those types of things – if you're going to grow them from seed, you'd want to start them in a cup or that little tiny seed, and you probably don't want to plant more than, you know, 5 to 10 of those plants as opposed to something like, you know, spinach or lettuce that, yeah, if you get a bunch of seeds out there and you have a whole row of that kind of stuff, you use a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Now, a couple of years ago, I actually turned my summer garden a little early, covered it in clear white plastic, and let it cook for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, we can talk about
that.
That
kind of cleaned it up a little bit, too.
It's a good natural pre-emergent.
We'll be back. You can reach John J. Harper here in the garden with Rosie on the house. It's 602-277-5827. We'll be right back, y'all.